Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. I want to welcome you to the next phase with Black Ice and Friends. And I always like to, I hope you're having a wonderful evening, and happy July the 1st to you. Always like to begin the show by giving you this information to start out with. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or beliefs and opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in our community can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing enhancement, increasing political strength, increasing financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, and all of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, we hope. There will be musical segments from time to time, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include, we'd like for you to join us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And hey, welcome, New Nation. Ladies down south, I want to welcome you for sure. How you doing? Hope everything's going quite well. I'll try to get. I'm trying to get some information. I got a PM, and I'm going to have to get some information out there. But I wanted to, and I got Brother Sapatai coming on. Let me see, Brother Sapatai, have you called in yet? Let me give you the number if y'all want to give a call in. It's 347-945-7040, and I'm waiting for Brother Sapatai to call in, and he is going to give us some information in regard to some historical perspectives about Africans in the U.S. and so forth. We hope that that'll transpire, but there's another thing that I wanted to do. I lost my train of thought. But anyway, we want to welcome you here. We'll be on every Thursday from 7 till 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this is what I wanted to do. If you have any guests or anyone that you would like to suggest that we might have on the program, we don't mind having a chat with them. And you can contact us by giving us an email at blakicz. That's all one word. Dot, which is a period, one, at gmail.com. If you have any topics or any guests that you'd like us to visit with, we'd be happy to do so. Just give us an email at blackice.1@gmail.com. And in the past, I had this already written down before I saw you in the room, Ladies Down South. I want to thank Ladies Down South for coming through before and visiting with us, and Platinum One Love for you, Black Magic Woman, and also Teach Pepsi. I want to thank y'all for coming through and visiting with us earlier in the inception of the shows. We've been on, I think this is the sixth show, and I really want to let y'all know that we appreciate you. And also we've had guests, Brother Legacy for Life, Lady Lily, yes. Her website is Beneath a Crust. .com. If you want to look her up, she's a published writer, a very articulate young lady, and we appreciate her coming through. Also, my brother Elder Olajami and Brother T.L. Harris came through, and Brother Sapatai. We'll be looking for you. If you get a chance, give us a holler here at 347-945-7040. I talked with you a little bit earlier, so I hope you get a chance to make it through. But we do know that there are some conditions that have an impact on us from time to time that unfortunately we don't have any control of. But if you have also, let's see, guest 3084 and 3033, and New Nation, thank you. I've not seen you before, but I'm glad you came through. there are some topics that I had. Always try to have something in the bag for you, just in case some of the guests don't make it, or you know, if there are some unfortunate eventualities that you know do occur on occasion. I also like to recommend that you give a listen to a real dynamic sister, India Declare. She's on at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time every day, Monday through Saturday. And she has a very interesting show. And also a guy, Perry Steele. I've only had a chance to visit with him one time. And a brother, ALFO Alpha. He has a show. And you can find those shows, I think, by putting those into the search engine on Blog Talk Radio. And they'll pull those shows up for you along with the times. So I'm still hoping that Brother Saab Patel gives me a call through, but if not, let's take a look at a couple of subjects. And what I want to let you know to begin with, and also I have a friend of mine calling, hopefully calling in from Iowa, and she has an interest. She's a child of a vet, and she'll be able to better articulate that herself if she gets if I see her. I'll make sure that she gets online. And she's a child of a vet, and she's Black Ice T. Welcome. Welcome, and thanks for coming through. But she's a child of a vet, and she turned me on to a man, a dynamic individual, as a matter of fact, two, who were in New York. And these guys... one is a proponent, one is a benefactor of the other brother, who is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'll let her clarify that for you if she'll give us a call. If you get a chance, give me a call, Miss Lady, there in Iowa, 347-945-7040. But anyway, she turned me on to these guys, and I visited with one of them, Michael. I can't remember what Michael's last name is. But what they've done is, what this one, the guy that helped Michael, I think, is a man that is a veteran. And what he's done is he's been able to do some research and find ways and means that some of the veterans hadn't previously known of. So if you are a vet, friend of a vet, or I mean, if you know a vet or have any acquaintance, then I'm hoping that next week, which will be the 8th, that they'll get a chance to come through with their program, and I think that my friend and I was going to have her own radio show, so she'll be probably doing the lion's share of the interview and Michael. But anyway, one of the articles that I had thought of to read, and I once again I want to reiterate that the show I do, it's not anti anything, you know, and that's one thing that Brother Sabata and I had a talk about. I mentioned that to him, and he was in total agreement. I mean, I was in total agreement with him because I said it's not anti white or Anglo, it's just pro black. And he said, you know, the thing of it is that it should never anyone be investing in anything anti. And that was one of the things that got me caught up in his perspective on the history of black people in Africa and in the transition in the U.S. and the transition. But anyway, here's a thought that I thought was relatively interesting for me, and it comes from the Loop 21. I don't know if you've heard that. It's a it's an alternative source of news with a black perspective. And you know what I found is that most news that we get is primarily, you know, it comes from an Anglo perspective. And you know, when you submit an opinion or an impression or perspective that you try to employ some vicarious methods, sometimes there are some things that there we are. So I say, brother, here we go. Brother Sy, you here?
Yeah, brother, I'm here. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great. I'm so glad you came through, brother. I'm good to hear from you, and I'll turn it over to you here in just a second to you know, to make the public aware of what it is, you know, that you do generally. and how you go about doing it. And if, you know, you we maintain anonymity here unless you choose to, be more specific or explicit, whatever. But I really appreciate you coming through. And I lost my train. What I was going to say was that, man, I tell you, I get going on here, brother, you know, and I'm sitting here hoping about it, hoping Brother Sock comes through. But anyway, we were talking, I think, about the vets, and hopefully the individual about the vet information, the veterans, this is military guys, information, and it doesn't matter how long you were a vet, but there are some benefits and opportunities that this man has found that some of us have overlooked and not really discussed. And I hope my sis comes through out of Iowa, and if she does, I keep checking in the chat room. But Brother Sy, I'm going to leave it at that. I didn't write down what I was talking about, so would you please introduce yourself and give us a brief idea of what your perspective is, and if you want to dive into it, you go right ahead, and I'll just be listening, and I'll interrupt you from time to time, if you don't mind, with a question, or if I get a call or something like that. That be okay with you?
Oh, that's fine with me, bro. That's fine with me.
All right. I'm going to give this number one more time, 347-945-7040. My big brother, Sa Pata, is going to talk to you now. So you take it away, brother, and if I can help, let me know.
I will do, bro. Will do. Hello to the people in the chat room, to everybody that's listening. My name is Sa Pata, and basically what I am is a historian. For many years, I've tried to study everything that I could about our particular condition, where it was that we came from, and where it is that we should be going, where we should be going. Really, as a specialty, I really specialize in the history of slavery, both here, Central and South America, the West Indies, and that and ancient Egypt and the history of religion in general. You know, it might sound like a lot, but it's just that I've been at it for quite some time. Brother Black Ice, I'm not sure where it is that you want to go, what direction you want to head.
No, I tell you what, brother, what I'll do is I would ask you that, you know, there are many renditions, and, you know, we've primarily been exposed to the European perspective, European historical perspective. And as I understand it, your perspective is more oriented toward Africa.
It
and,
sure is.
A lot to do with the, you know, with the, you know, and we had discussed that there was a possibility you might talk a little bit about where we were in Africa, generally speaking, you know, not necessarily specifically, and where we came to, which is what they call now the United States or North America, the United States of America, and then what the transition was, how we got here, and what some of the travails and some of the you know, detrimental impacts were on us, and how we survived up to this point. Then, if you would, and I'll keep these things, you know, ready to provide you with them as you continue on with your discussion. But then I'd like to ask you, from where we are today, based on what you know about our history, how do we begin to develop ourselves to reach our fullest potential and be the most beneficial we can be for the country that we find ourselves in?
Wow, bro, that's a lot. That's a lot, but
yeah.
I got a gist of where you want to go.
Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Our history of being enslaved in this country, you know, it goes back to, I think, 1607, 1615, one of those years.
Right.
But more importantly, it's where in Africa that we came from.
Right.
You know, Africa is 2.5 times bigger than the United States.
Yeah,
but,
beautiful. Yeah.
But the English, the British,
right,
they only had control of certain areas.
Right, exactly.
Being that we speak English, we undoubtedly from one of those areas.
Right.
So you can, as far as where you come from goes, you can narrow it down greatly by just looking at what did the British control between,
right,
1650 and about 1800.
Right, right.
Now, that's primarily West Africa.
Right.
Maybe as far north as Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe as far south as Angola. But
right,
the majority of us that are alive today,
mm-hmm,
we come from either the Ashanti or the Yoruba.
Right.
One, the,
okay,
the Ashanti's, mm-hmm, from Ghana. The Yoruba is from Nigeria. And the reason I say that is this. Those two kingdoms were pretty much the biggest and the strongest in Western Africa during the slave trade. So the people of those kingdoms were the last to get enslaved. The people, those ancestors that came from smaller tribes that didn't have much military, a lot of them got sold by the Ashanti and the Yoruba. But
right,
when you get up to about 1797, the Ashanti and the Yoruba both lost their power, and they were the ones that were getting enslaved.
Right.
So if you arrived in America last, if you arrived in America in 1800, it's a pretty good chance your family survived. If you got here in 1700, it's a pretty good chance your family didn't make it all the way to the 1800s when we finally got out of slavery.
Right.
So I wanted to make that point, that anybody that's, you know, trying to reestablish their roots and find out where they're from,
right,
rather than just throwing a dart at a map of Africa and saying wherever it lands, that's where I'm from.
Right.
You can narrow it down to where the British controlled, and then you can narrow it down further to one of those two empires.
Right.
Now,
go
ahead.
Okay. Now, what I was going to say is that, you know, and it was I'm not really sure geographically. That was generally the west side. And, you know, it seemed for some reason, and I'm not, you know, this is where I'm really deficient as far as geography goes, but the west side seemed to be the most attractive and the easiest for people to have been acquired. You know, that's a heck of a word, to acquire people. And generally what is considered to be, you know, slaves. And slaves, really, the terminology, to my idea, has, you know, it's not really truly as descriptive, because it's almost, it makes you like an inanimate object. You know, these were families. They had family structures. They had traditions. They had lived on that continent for generations, who knows, eons. And they were totally disrupted. You know, and they, within themselves, they had these tribal conflicts. And within themselves, they had this, you know, the word that they would capture each other or hold each other hostage or slaves, or, but it was all on the continent. So, you know, within a closer proximity. But whenever the Europeans came, you were taken, I forget how many miles away, and not in the very, in an efficient, or at least for those individuals, not in an efficient manner. You know, shackled and so forth, as best that I'm able to find out from, you know, historians. and you know, disease ridden, not treated, you know, all kinds of attacks, and you know, if a person, as I understand it, passed away, they just threw them over the side, and you know, so I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was just wanting to make sure that, you know, that to me, when a person uses the term, you know, slave, it almost negates the humanity of those of when I say those, I'm saying my people, because I claim that person that was abused. I claim that person that was despised, and I claim that person that was misused and ensnared and trapped and traded as currency. And you know, when I hear those terms, I don't just, you know, hear them. You know, I feel them. You know, because I mean, that's a part of me. And people say, well, you know, you weren't a slave, so, but you don't understand. I mean, that's my ancestry. My ancestry goes back, Brother Sapatat, to where you're talking about, to that dirt over there.
It does, and I understand where you're coming from. So, Black, just do this. Instead of using the term slave, which actually started out from, like, in Europe with the Slavs, that's where the word comes from.
Ah.
But, yeah, that is, you know, Yugoslavia, all of those lands up there. That's where the term slave comes from, because the Romans were enslaving them.
Right.
For real. So if that term doesn't sit well with you, and I can easily understand why it don't,
right,
then use the term enslaved African or enslaved ancestor.
Right.
You know, not
right,
a
exactly.
Slave, enslaved.
Yep.
You know, it's a small change in the word, but it means everything.
Yeah, semantics. Semantics mean a lot. They really do. You know, it changes. It's like there are some words that I picked up over my years. Connotation is a word. Connotation, to me, it allows me to realize the weight, the gravity of certain terminology, where if I'm not involved, I don't have an experiential, I'm not initially involved and engaged in a certain situation. The only thing I can do, vicarious is another word, vicarious, V-I-C-R-I-O-U-S. To me, that it means, and I'm by no means a scholar. I don't even have a college degree, but I'm just saying that these words, to me, vicarious means that I'm trying to feel what happened to you. You know, I'm giving you my opinion of what happened to you, and it's not as direct as if it were one of my relatives. You know, and a connotation is like the weight of the word. You know, like, you know, beat. You know, on the one sense, Rodney King was beat. And what that connotes is, you know, what does beating mean? You know, like we, you know, joke about my parents beat me. This man was literally beat. And the weight of that word, and like you were saying, how you use it, the context and your perspective of it, it has a real, it's tremendously different if you only can imagine what it was like. You have some empathy about it. But it makes a heck of a difference whenever that he is emblematic of so many people that I knew personally and know personally. So many situations that I, you don't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. In fact, Brother Ice, instead of me giving you an overall description of where we came from and how we got here, Let me try to make it more pertinent and discuss what happened to us in terms of fear and self-hatred.
Right.
Because you see, fear and self-hatred is what is used to control us today at this moment. But I seldom hear it placed in context or hear someone give me, like, the overall plan and how you implement it.
Right.
Now, as a people, mentally, we're kind of being controlled right now.
Right.
But how the control was implemented and
mm-hmm.
exactly what it is and the form it takes, that's seldom discussed. And if I'm going to give you a history of slavery, I'd prefer to do it in terms of the fear and the self-hatred that it generated and
mm-hmm.
how that fear and self-hatred affects me and you personally today. For real.
Right, right.
All right, it's kind of painful to relate it, but we were marched, in some cases, literally hundreds of miles from the interior of Africa
right.
to the coast, where we were placed on ships. Millions of us died on the overland crossing from the interior. You know, first they depleted the coast of people.
Right.
Then when it's just like oil, when you can't find oil on land anymore, you start drilling in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
When they couldn't find enough human beings on the coast, they started taking human beings from the interior.
Right.
That's the beginning of the pain. That overland hike that you had to take with no food, if you got sick, injured, anything, they just leave you for the hyenas to eat.
Right.
And then there's those of us that committed suicide because, you know, we didn't want to face these dangers that we found over here.
Right.
But the beginning of our pain starts with that overland crossing. It continues with our first prison experiences in places like Gory Island.
Right.
You know, with the forts that the whites erected at various places on the coast in order to store us until the ships were ready to take us and bring us here.
Right.
You know, if you can talk about the psychological damage of a man going to the penitentiary today,
mm-hmm.
you could imagine the damage that it caused 200-300
right.
years ago when,
right.
you know, no African had ever seen anything like a
right.
prison cell with bars. So being locked up in those cells on the coast awaiting transport, that was like step two
right.
In the pain. But the thing that really broke us,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even it took the strongest of men and women to even get to the ship.
That's,
you know, you got to survive that crossing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to survive that jail cell. You got to survive all that them indignities just
mm-hmm.
to get to the ship. So it was strong Africans on the ship, period. But
man.
the ship broke us.
Right.
Being locked up in the bottom of that slave ship.
Right.
Rocking back and forth on a single piece of wood with the man to the left dying, man to the right dying, man
right.
above you dying, man below you dying.
Right.
Calling out to the various gods, all of which is the same god, just different names, but
right.
calling out to those gods and seemingly having no response. I mean, by the time you got to America,
mm-hmm.
you was pretty much already broken and you were already prepared mentally and physically for whatever the cracker was going to bring you.
Right.
But, you know, this isn't discussed much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if
right.
you ask the whites, they'll tell you that, oh, that voyage on the ship wasn't so bad.
Uh-huh.
And you've been on a cruise or something, you're like, oh, man, coming over the water ain't that bad. But the way they had us packed like sardines.
Right, right.
And not knowing where you're going, not knowing your fate, with your God seemingly not answering you. And I do mean seemingly. I'm not saying he didn't answer or she didn't answer. I'm saying
something. Right. Mm-hmm.
When you got off that boat, if they said your name's Toby, you was psychically and physically prepared to call yourself Toby.
Right.
In other words, the fear of these people was already instilled within you simply from the Middle Passage.
Right. Wow.
Then they sell you on an auction block like you're a horse or a cow or a chicken.
Right.
And off you go to some unknown place for some unknown purpose, never to return to your home.
Right.
And any time that you showed any knowledge of any African culture, African wisdom, you were either beaten within an inch of your life or you was killed. So you quickly lost any real knowledge or any detailed knowledge of your past. That's for the person that was born in Africa. If
right.
you were born over here,
right.
you didn't even, you know, have your younger years to look back upon when you were free and you did have your culture.
Right, right, wow. Right,
now,
wow. That's deep. What I'm thinking in regard to that is that, you know, you were just totally traumatized. I mean, you know, traumatized is, I mean, there's no way conceptually that I can even entertain what that was like. I mean, there's nothing that's, you know, because, man, I hit the light switch, the lights come on. I open the refrigerator, I got something cold to drink or eat or whatever. You know, hit the stove, you know, and some fire comes up and I just, you know. So I have no real, and you know, but in my heart, I have a tremendously deep appreciation for the abiding intense desire to survive that these people, my people, exhibited. And even today with us starting from that point where we came to, totally destitute, totally with everything stripped, as someone said in the chat room, Black Ice Tea, a fish out of water, kidnapped, raped, and totally abused. I mean, all that taken away, and then, you know, you look today and you see still, you know, and you, I can imagine how people who were considered to be oppressors back in those days can look today and see the world changing to the extent that it's more on a not equal but a more equal footing, and there is that competition. You know,
that's why you see them dressed in colonial clothing nowadays. That's why they're going back to the original Tea Party in 17-something. That's why you're seeing that. And if you watch movies, you've been seeing and you're going to see a bunch of end-of-the-world movies.
Right.
Where the world's supposed to end this way or supposed to end that way.
You think so? You think that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
That's coming next.
That's what I'm seeing.
You know?
But before I diverge into that,
mm-hmm.
first let me say, how you doing to Miss Brandy?
You see Miss Brandy, man?
Yeah,
I'm so
Miss
proud
Brandy
of that little
in the chat room.
Yeah.
So I want to say hello to her. The other thing is I wanted to finish what I was saying about our condition, because I had only identified the half of it that had to deal with our ancestors.
Right.
I hadn't gotten to the half of it that deals with you and I today.
Right.
Now, when we had reached the position of you made the journey across the water, you got sold on the auction block, you got marched to your plantation, and you're on your plantation, and Your behind's been totally whooped, not just the march across Africa, but the journey across the sea, and then the march from the United States coast from wherever you had to get to. At that point, you've been brutalized so much that the fear is literally DNA deep.
Right.
Literally, all the way to your DNA. This is a crucial point in our development, because at that point, the whites introduced the means that they use up until this day to control your behavior or to accurately predict your behavior.
Right.
So that you can always be countered. Once you've established the fear to the degree that we were fear, that we had fear, then they introduced the twin concept of the white man is God,
okay,
and the black man is an evil demon cursed to slavery.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Now, the biggest symbol of the white man is God is that picture of white Jesus that
right.
my grandmother had in her kitchen.
Right, right.
Same one that your grandmother probably had.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not dissing the religion.
Right.
Not dissing the religion, but I am saying when you're presented with only the white Jesus Christ and no other alternative,
mm-hmm.
you can't help but be logical and say, well, if God's son is white, then God must be white.
Right.
That's just basic logic.
Right.
You also have the same basic logic, which is universal, also is going to say that if God and his son are white and you yourself are black, that you ain't really down.
Right.
You ain't really a part of all of it. You
right.
get yourself back.
Right.
This don't apply to you. You're that evil demon that has to lie, cheat, cuss, be lazy, what have you. All the different connotations they put on it. Now, without the fear that was implanted in us when we first got here, you'd never believe that white man's God and you yourself is the devil.
Right.
You'd never believe it. As soon as you heard it, you'd throw that thought right out of your mind. But
right.
with all of that pain applied to you,
right,
then you were in a position where you're accepting of it. And all of our people, whether a person today, right now, listening to me is immune to all this is one thing, but our people was not immune to this at all. You can see many evidences of this today. Really, and most of us still hold on to that white Jesus as the emblem of God, and we have nothing but fear and loathing for anything that looks like us.
That, you know, Brother Sy, let me drop this number again if anybody wants to give us a call. And oh wow, I got numbers on here, man. Let me put somebody on right quick, Brother Sy. You hold on, okay? 240 area code. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hello, this is Lady Lily.
Hey, Lady Lily, how you doing?
Peace and blessings. I'm going to find my brother. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Glad to have you here, Brother Sapatatis, Lady Lily.
How you doing, lady?
I'm going to put another person on here with us. I think I know this number, but I'm not sure. Hello, area code 515. You there?
I am here.
Oh, my goodness. I'm now, y'all go right ahead on. Let me, Brother Sy, you know, you do your thing, Lady Lily. And who am I talking to, 515?
This is Vicky.
Turn that darn computer
okay.
down.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. See, because it's got a lag to it. And Lady Lily, Brother Cy, and Vicky from Iowa. And let me let y'all go ahead, and I'll be quiet, and I'll watch the room. And, you know, y'all do your thing, please. Brother Cy, you go right ahead. And Lady Lily, did you have something? I know you do. Please, to input.
Yeah, first of all, who am I talking to? Brother Sire, is that what you said? How you pronounce his name? I mean, no disrespect. Brother Sire?
It's Sa Pata.
Ah, Pata. Oh, Sa Pata.
Sa Pata.
Sa Pata. Oh, okay, Sa Pata. Peace and blessings. Well, when I first started listening to you, the first thing I did, I went and closed all my blinds and pulled down my thick shades, and I closed my computer out because I said, this brother must be standing outside of my window looking through here, reading my mind. Because some of the stuff you were saying is stuff that I, you know, I say daily. I teach and preach daily about the fear and about the brainwashing and about the conditioning and stuff. And I'm just so glad to know that. What part of the country are you in, if I may ask?
I'm right outside Washington, D.C., but I'm born and raised New Yorker.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I was just so good to hear somebody else in different areas saying the same thing, because they often say, when people say, well, we're not doing anything, we're not talking, we're doing a lot and we're talking a lot. Just because the media doesn't give us national media coverage doesn't mean that we're not doing things, so... It's just great to hear you, and I'm going to get off this phone and let somebody else come up and say something. But
well, you're welcome to stay on the line if you choose to. I tell you what, would you call me right back? That phone has got a little glitch to it for some reason.
With my phone?
Yeah.
Yes, your phone.
It's got a little glitch to it. But
sure, it's not your phone.
Lady Lily, no, I want you to feel please call back and, you know. And it's not a problem. Just whatever you choose to do, but I'll get off this horn again, and I want to let you know. And she's a writer, Brother Sa. She's a writer, Miss Vicky. She writes, and that's
okay.
The lady that has the site beneaththecrust.com. www.beneaththecrust.com.
.net.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm sorry. .net. I always do that. .net. I will get it right.
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up since this has a bad connection here.
Call back.
Okay, I will. All right. Peace and blessings.
Take care, sister.
Peace and blessings.
Black Ice, next time you see me in the chat rooms, post me that link.
I sure will. I sure will.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, brother. Brother Sabatai. Hey, Brother Sabatai, I don't want to interrupt what you were doing. I mean, I just want to let and see if Ms. Vicky has, if she wants to address you at all. But if you heard me talking earlier about the vets, and hopefully this is an upcoming program. Ms. Vicky, is that going to be next week?
I hope so.
Okay.
I certainly hope so. That's my goal, is next week.
Okay. And, do you have any thing that you'd like to converse with Brother Sabatai about?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm quiet.
Absolutely. Okay, first of all, hello to you. Good evening. One of the last things that you said was there's evidence of this today. And so I have a question for you. I know that one of the things that happened to slaves was that their families were broken up. That
yes,
was
they
part
were.
Of their yep, that was part of their punishment. And in doing that, they would take either the mother away from the family, just whomever in the family away from pull them away as consequences for doing something that the master did not want them to do.
Sometimes,
do you think that
sometimes it was just profit. Make more money, breaking up the family.
Right.
They did it. Just profit.
Okay. Do you think that by any chance that plays a role today in the black families in staying together and the difficulties,
course.
The challenges that we face in remaining a family unit.
Of course it does.
Okay.
Of course it does. During slavery time, you were not allowed to be a mother to your children. Only in certain cases. For the most part, you was
in
able to hold
cases.
Yeah, you were only able to maintain your role as mother over the children until they turned 7, 8 years old and was old enough to go work.
Right.
Then that was it. As far as I'm concerned, I was never allowed to act as a father to any of the children that I might produce. There was no me teaching my child, disciplining my child, raising my child. The same as it was for you, it was for me. Now, since we had no rules, no customs, no way of raising our children other than what Massa taught us during slavery time, which was nothing. When we're released from bondage and we don't have shackles on anymore, we still both continued our roles to a degree of not really knowing how to deal with our children or each other.
Finding our way.
That's the situation coming directly out of slavery, but that's still the situation today.
Okay.
I mean, you're a black woman, I'm a black man. What's the rules for us dealing with one another?
What are they?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You got to ask, what are they? Because they're not common knowledge.
Right.
So we have to repair our relationship to one another as male to female. We also have to learn or relearn the proper way of raising children. There's certain aspects that we must be ignorant of that white people are also ignorant of that causes our children to shoot and kill each other on the corner for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And these things, they all trace back to not having a family structure during slavery, the white man's family structure not being the proper one for us, even though we emulated, and complete ignorance of the family structures that we devised for ourselves.
Brother Silas is going. I was interrupting his thought. I think I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Okay.
I just wanted to share something. Black Ice is aware of this. This has been a journey for me for about 5 years now, and that is tracing my family's genealogy. And it's quite frustrating for many, many reasons. The first phase of frustration that I faced was when I actually came to what was definitely a plantation. And you just seen all of these names, sometimes no names, children that would be 2 and under. It was not uncommon to see them without a name whatsoever. So that was frustrating for me to just run across that. The other thing is that finding my family. I'm only back 5 generations, and it is difficult to find them anywhere. It is very difficult to find them anywhere, to find any proof that they existed. And part of that frustration is that I'm not quite sure where to look, because I know that in some instances they were listed under cattle, under property, under different family names, because in some states it was illegal for them to have X amount of slaves. They could only have a certain amount of slaves. Mm-hmm. So today, slavery still affects affects each and every one of us. It is so not over. We just do not have those chains on.
But you know what? Let me interrupt and just interject this. And as a matter of fact, let me look back at the phone to see if anybody has called. But one of the things that I want to interject is this: that we got 240. 240. Let me introduce 240. I'm not sure who that is, but 240. Can you hear me?
You should know who it is. I just called. I'm Lady Lily.
You sound a lot better now. I mean, there is no girl, but that's directly straight through. But what I was, Lady Lily, please, just I want to finish this thought, and then I'll get off the mic. But here's my thought: is that, you know, there is this, what this thing is that I do. What it's about is that, and this is what I had talked with Brother Sapatai about, and Vicky, you know how I feel about it. And Lady Lily, I don't know if you're familiar with my perspective on this stuff, but my thought is this: always, what happened to us, where we are today, and how do we realize what it is we want to be? Because you know, you have to have a vision, and you see, this is why I don't like to be around people who have a negative vision. Oh, you can't do this. They're not going to, you know, I say I'll give you that, and you sit over there, or I'll go away. But whenever I talk with you, and Brother Sy, you're a very positive guy, and Vic, you know you're a very positive person, and Lady Lily, I'm sure that you're a very positive person, and most of the people that I know are very positive people. I understand that the devastating impact that these unfortunate circumstances had on us as a culture. And one of the other things is that the more dominant society doesn't realize is who knows which child has a cure for AIDS or cerebral palsy or autism. How can you totally discount people and discount their intellect and their ingenuity and their potential, their possibility, because they can challenge other individuals in other areas to the point. Why don't we seek our better selves? And one of the reasons that I find is that a lot of people are threatened by the fact that we have the potential to be tremendously, we are very competitive and obviously survivor-oriented group of individuals. And here's an analogy that I introduced, and I thought, it's this, that there were people, if you can imagine a feast, where that on one side of the table, people were gorging them, so they had just a tremendous amount of food. This one person, the king, and so the pauper on the other side, he only got the bones and, you know, the corners of the bread, the crumbs or whatever. And now what's happening is that table is turning. And the same thing that guy gave to the pauper, all of a sudden the pauper has, and he's sitting there looking at the crumbs that he gave away. So it stands to reason that, you know, you want to treat your brother as you treat yourself. And if you don't, then you're going to continually have that nagging fear of what's he going to do to me when he gets in power, that distrust. And I heard some guys the other day talking about guns, and it reminded me that, I got want my gun. You know, and it reminds me that it's like having, you know, male organs. You know, if I don't have my gun, I don't have my male organ. If I got to have 10 guns, and that way I feel more masculine.
You're closer than you know, bro.
Anyway, I'm going to get off of this mic. I'm back listening, y'all.
You're closer than you know, far closer. When you compare having your gun to having your penis, you're closer than you know. But I would like to take a moment to hail my two sisters who are listening in. I'd like to give a warm felt greeting to my sister Nomo and my sister Imagine Space. Right, always a pleasure to see both of y'all. And I'd like to give a shout out to my man, It Can Be If You Will It.
Wow, peace and blessings to y'all. I didn't know they're on there.
Yeah, well, I broadcast your show through my room.
And I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, well, they're in my room. And I always give them a shout out. regardless of circumstances.
And this ain't the last time. Ain't being the operative word.
All right. As far as our condition today, our problems stem from either or a combination of self-hatred and fear. Now, I sort of gave the background on the fear, but the self-hatred is what manifests that you can see a lot of. Well, and it's got many manifestations. But if you're looking for why the black woman has such a hard time with the black man, you're going to find self-hate at the root of it. If you're looking for why are black families seemingly based around grandmother, mother, child, rather than mother, father, child, you're going to come to self-hatred. If you look at why we seemingly can't maintain relationships with one another, when you get down to the root of it, it's going to be one of the two parties or both of them at the core actually hate themselves. See, it goes like this. If I don't love myself, I don't have a clue about how to love you. And if I don't love you, what chance we got as a couple? As soon as that initial lust plays out, you know, you meet, I'm talking to the sisters I'm on the phone with right now, you know, you meet a brother and at first, you can't wait to see him, you can't wait to touch him, but whether you end up in love with him or not, that initial lust fades. It always fades.
Mm-hmm.
And since that's all that we're really operating on at this point, when it fades, the relationship ends. And as far as I could tell, that lust has a shelf life of a maximum of 3 years. And most of the black people I know, including family members, have a problem keeping a relationship more than the 3 years. That self-hatred is at the root of it. You know what you say when you hate black women? Deep inside of you, you hate them, but, you know, it's deep in you. You say things like, if she gets pregnant, it's a brick in the stomach, or we don't love them hoes, statements like that. You know what you say when you a woman and you carrying around that self-hatred and you look at a black man? You say to yourself, all niggas is dogs. That brother, he ain't worth nothing. Now, if the sister's walking around with that in her heart, and I'm walking around with that in my heart, all we could possibly have is lust. And the lust always fades. So it's paramount. Being that the black family is the backbone of black people, no matter where or when you look, it's paramount that the relationships between the brothers and the sisters is returned to health. For real. Returned to some sort of health.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Hey, Brother Sabatai, let me interrupt you just for a second, okay? And the only reason why is I want to include Sister Lady Lily. Are you still there, Lady Lily?
I'm here.
Okay, hold on. I want you to say your say. I mean, you know, I want you to give some input. And Sister Vicky, I know good and well you're going to do your thing when you... And I know Lady Lily will do the same thing once she gets comfortable. But I want to say that if you want to give us a call, 347-945-7040. The next phase with Ice and Friends, and now back to my friends, Lady Lily. Brother Sabatai was giving us a historical perspective of Africa and the Africans in America, in which I appreciate you, brother, so much. You just don't know. I really do. You came through. No question, Brother Sasha said, just ask me whenever you get ready. I'm like, dang, Holmes. But anyway, Brother Sabatai with the historical perspective, and my sister, Miss Vicky, and she's got some wonderful information. We'll tease it at the end of the program. And Lady Lily, who's the author of beneath the crust.net, am I right? Beneath the crust, all one word, .net, am I right?
Yes.
And I'll turn it back over to you guys, and I'm back quiet.
Oh, okay. Well, my comment I wanted to make, I have this thing called a saying I say, if you treat your cause, you've got your cure. Treat your cause, there's your cure. So many times what we do is we want to treat signs and symptoms, but we never treat the cause. And I agree with the brother when he was talking about the self-hate, but I take it back a little further. The self-hate is not really the problem. The problem is what led to the self-hate. You see, no matter how much we recognize we have self-hate, until we treat the cause of that self-hate, we're going to continue self-hate. So you treat your cause, and then you find your cure. So when you start looking at what caused the self-hate, and I tuned in a little late, but he hit on it, hit the nail on the head when he was talking about the way we were shown the image of the white Jesus and the way we were shown different things, everything good was not about us. So in order to rectify the self-hate, we got to go past the self-hate and start dealing with the issues that cause the self-hate. And, you know, we were talking about the chains and the bondage and everything, and I heard this woman tell this story about the elephant. And she said that she saw this elephant. This elephant had this beautiful, beautiful ribbon around his neck, a red ribbon, and a beautiful bow. And when she saw that beautiful bow, his neck with just this little bit of string of ribbon tied to it, laying over on the porch. And she asked this guy, she said, do you actually think that little ribbon is going to hold that elephant? He said, no, I don't have to worry about the ribbon anymore. He said, when I first got this elephant, I put heavy chain around this elephant's neck, and I tied it to a stump. And every time that elephant started to run off, that heavy chain would cut into his neck. It cut into his neck. And he said after a while, the elephant realized if he tried to run off, he recognized the consequences. So now I can take the heavy chain off to use on another elephant. I put the red ribbon around his neck, and in this elephant's mind, he still has that heavy chain. And that's what has happened to us. The chains are off the shackles are off our feet, the chains are off our hands, but now it's our mind. So it's our mind.
Can I ask you a question, sister? The sister that was just talking, can I ask you a question?
That's Lady Lily. Can you hear Brother Sabatai, Lady Lily?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Lady Lily, can I ask you a question?
What do you mean?
If the shackles are now mental, what kind of key do you use to unlock them?
What kind of key do you use to unlock the mental keys? Unlock the mental locks? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's what
I'm asking. Well, the first thing you have to do is through education. When I say education, I don't mean the occasional, you know, we were brought over here in chain and stuff. You have to start down deep in the dirt. But I find that so many times we don't want to talk about what has happened, the slavery and what has happened, or we want to talk on the surface. But start talking deep down and get down in the muck. Talk about how they would take a pregnant woman and cry other pregnant women around. Take that pregnant woman, hang her up by her legs upside down from a tree, slit this woman's belly open and stomp on the fetus when the fetus head hit the ground, and how that sent fear through every pregnant woman standing up in there. Start talking about how this stuff came about. Start exposing the stupidity of whiteness. Whiteness is stupidity. You start exposing the stupidity. You start with the thing about, ask yourself this question, or anybody this question, would I give my baby to an animal to drink, to nurse. We were told we were animals, but when a white woman had a baby, she gave her baby to that black woman to nurse. Now, what does that say about this superior woman? You giving your baby to an animal. So that must mean there's nothing wrong with me, baby, but something wrong with you. If you're telling me I'm an animal, but you're going to give your baby to me to nurse, you know, these are the things you got to start talking about if we're not already doing it. Talk about how we were made to feel ashamed about our big lips. But who is it paying big bucks for silicone injection to get big lips put in them? Who with sun cancer to get brown, not me, baby, because I'm a rich dog chocolate already? That's the way, that's my view of it, brother Sampatar. If I mispronounce your name, I mean no disrespect. That's part of my way of doing it. If we could just start, it's just like an onion. When you have an onion, and an onion have a lot of layers, and most of us, I know when I peel an onion, I just cut down to the meat because I ain't got time to be peeling all these layers back. But if you start peeling an onion layer by layer, eventually you get to the meat, and that's what I see has to happen. We have to start at the source and start peeling away side by side. Peace and blessings. Thanks for listening.
No, that's fine. Let me interrupt just a second. I got 315. Hold on. Whoa, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
All right, 315. I think this, if I'm not mistaken, is Black Magic Woman.
Yes, it is.
How are you doing? So we have Brother Sy. Okay. It's we're outnumbered. It's 3-2. We have Lady Lily. We have Miss Vicky, and now we have Black Magic Woman, Brother Sy. So, are you comfortable with taking a back seat?
Sure, brother, and I'm glad to see Black Magic Woman. I see
absolutely
where she wrote in the text that she just had to call.
Yes,
you know,
I did.
You know what? Let me introduce this right quick, and then I'll shut up and let you have your say. Black Magic Woman, if you don't mind. And thank you for what you had to say, Lady Lily. Appreciate it. And Miss Vicky, please, you just have to get in where you fit in, you know. But what I'd like to say is that regardless to how much we remember the pain, the agony, and the suffering, to my idea, we have to understand that there has to be a vision of success. And, you know, we have to visualize success, overcoming, because you're either going to be one, a victor, or you're going to be a victim. And I choose not to be a victim. I understand all the different atrocities that occurred, and I feel them, I guess viscerally is a good word, I hope so. But I feel them. I feel them in me. I don't hear them. Like a lot of people, you hear that? No, I feel it. So, but what comes after understanding and going through and reliving the pain and suffering, we have to have a vision for success. And instead of replicating failure, we're replicating us being dissuaded from pursuing whatever our destiny and righteous objectives are. Anyway, with that said, Black Magic Woman, I'll let you have a mic, and then as you know, Brother Sabotage show, and he's been so gracious to allow me to have us all be a part of it. And Brother Sabotage, let me tell you right now, I appreciate it, and I'll get back off this mic. And Black Magic Woman, if you want to interject something, and then Miss Vicky and Lady Lily and Brother Sabotage, however y'all choose to, it's up to y'all. I'm off the mic.
I was going to comment on this Black hate, self-hate thing. When a child is born, a child is tabula rasa. And if you don't know what that means, it means he's a blank slate. You can get a white child who knows nothing and raise him up. He will love you as hard as he loves his own mother because he doesn't know anybody but you.
That's
so
correct.
That's what I'm suggesting, one at a time. Teach your children love of self, self-respect, self-elevation. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. I don't care what anybody tells me. I know that I'm a child of God. And God does not make junk. And therefore, I believe that we can change this thing, line upon line, precept upon precept. There's no way that you can't change it if you get one here, each one reach one. Each one teach one. Mothers and fathers, I don't care if you come from a one-family home or a two-family, a two-parent home, I'm sorry. You teach your children to love themselves. Teach them that every time you look at the TV, you're seeing white people trying to emulate black people. They want curly hair. They put collagen in their lips to make them thick. They want black skin. The darker, the more they'll pay. So risking a chance of getting skin cancer. You know what I'm saying? So there's something in us that they must see as beautiful. We are beautiful people. Everybody is trying to emulate us. When we come out with the braids, Bo Derek and all the rest of them tried to get the braids. We are beautiful people. We are the best thing since sliced bread, no matter what anyone says. This is what you have to almost like brainwash your children with. Teach them they can do anything and be anything, no matter what anybody says. You know, if you can't go in the front door, climb through the window. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do not take no for an answer.
Yeah.
Love yourself. Teach everyone you're around to love themselves. Be a leader.
You know, to me, you have to project that. I mean, you know, if I look at you every day, and I project to you the losing spirit, I project to you that you're incapable and incompetent. I mean, when I look at my children and my grandchildren, when I look at my grandkids, I got a couple that's 2 and 3 years old or whatever, I want them to know that I believe in you. I trust your opinion. And you know, as it goes, and you guard that. You know, I haven't been the best father. I have not been the best grandfather. And I haven't been the best friend. And I haven't been the best community leader. But I can guarantee you, I don't care where you hear me, where you see me, what I'm going to do my best to do, and I get in some places, some venues, you hear me get off pretty far off, but is I'm going to tell my brothers and sisters, and you know, I'm not saying that all Anglo people are bad people. I've met some of the most wonderful people that happen to be Anglo, but they don't see themselves as that being some entitlement. They only see themselves as that being a coincidence. And those are the people that I can appreciate. But what I say is that whatever it is, you have to have a vision. And if you envision yourself as a victim, then you'll forever replicate that. And if you ever project that into your children or your grandchildren or your neighbors or your friends, and you get in an environment, no matter where it is, what it is, that's what you're going to – what it does is it – what's that word? It recreates itself over and over. And I would rather what my recreation is a recreation of success. And I want my kids.
It's called self fulfilling prophecy.
That's what I was trying to say. I don't see, when I look at my kids, I don't look at them and see. Or any friends, anybody, you know. I was in a 12-step program, and I don't go because I believe in 12-step programs. And some people it works, some people it doesn't. But there were guys that I had a chance to be around who would come into the 12-step program, and they were getting clean off whatever it was they were getting clean off of, and they wanted to go be accepted by society. And these were not people of African descent. But I knew just as well when they went into those environments that those people were going to subject them to demoralization, because they and the guys would say, "Well, I'm a convict." I said, "That may be your name, but you don't internalize it. You never see yourself. You see yourself as a successful individual. You do not ever internalize, because the connotation, the weight, the pressure of those words have such a real tremendously debilitating impact sometimes on people. And it's a psychological, it causes a psychological paralysis in some instances. And I said, you know, you never self, you don't internalize that, you know, because you're a convict by the situation, but that doesn't define you in your totality. They'll never define you. Whatever is said about you, you know, unless it's a positive thing, it'll never define you in your totality. Anyway, I'll get back. I'm sorry. I just had to interject that. Miss Vicki, I'm so surprised this woman is so quiet tonight.
Well, you know what? Black Magic Woman pretty much said what I was thinking, and it can be done on such a small, small scale. And I'll give you a little example with that. But my son got his second car. He had a window that continued to drop, and we taped it. The next weekend, my brother came over and showed him how to fix that window. Just that small.
Right, exactly.
Just that small. Car repairs
mm-hmm.
are a huge expense. House repairs are huge expenses. If we could just help each other in those small areas, that is a huge task. Huge.
And it,
so
it builds
self-confidence. I agree with Black Magic. Yes, I agree with Black Magic Woman 100% that it starts with us helping each other. Whatever you know how to do, teach someone else.
Can I say one thing?
Please, brother.
What Black Magic Woman was talking about is truly the starting point. If you know that we're under a condition where we dislike ourselves and we love the people that oppressed us, you can either instill a strong sense of love of self into you and your descendants, or you can instill a strong sense of not liking our oppressor. Person does have a choice. Actually, both of them accomplish the same task. Whether you're the type of person that dislike white people or you're the type of person that teaches love of black people, in actuality, you're pretty much teaching the same thing from different perspectives. The earlier half of my life, I was much more on teaching the people around me the negatives of white people and what they've done to us. In the latter half of my life, it's been beneficial to instead emphasize the love that we should have for one another.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that even if you do, as Black Magic Woman suggested, you are still literally surrounded with negative messages about black people.
Mm-hmm.
You're still surrounded with negative messages. You turn on your television right now, if you see a black man, he either has a ball in his hand, a microphone in his hand, or he's handcuffed. One of the three. So even if you're Black Magic Woman and you're saying to your son, you can be anything, you can do anything, you great, you worth something. Even if you play Nina Simone's To Be Young, Gifted, and Black every day, which my mother did for me, literally, played it every day. Still, when you turn on that television or you walk outside that door, everywhere you look, it's going to be negative imaging, negative messages about our people. So, doing as Black Magic Woman suggested is a great start, but it can't stop there because you're literally surrounded with people saying, oh, the blacks never did nothing. Blacks never made nothing. Blacks never did this. Blacks don't do that. Negative negative, negative. Even if you open up a dictionary and you look up black, it's going to be negative, negative, negative. So you not only have to embark upon black woman, Black Magic Woman's program, you have to find a way to augment it, because you almost literally talking about yourself against the world. Almost literally. My mother used to tell me all the time, you can be whatever you want to be. You can go wherever you want to go. You could be president. And I looked at her, and when she said that bit about you could be president, I'd look at her and I'd be thinking, Ma, why are you lying to me? Man, you know better than that. I can't be anything. I can't achieve this. Nobody black can achieve this or can achieve that. But it turns out she had the right attitude. She had the type of attitude that kind of makes you unstoppable. Whatever they present you with, you can overcome it with that type of outlook.
Exactly.
It took a while for me to actually obtain that outlook. But it's very necessary, more than what you know. Black Ice, I asked one of the sisters a question.
Right.
If we have mental chains on, if we're locked up in our mind.
Right.
What kind of key do you need to unlock it? You know what kind of key you need to unlock it?
What's that?
A mental key.
Right, exactly.
If the chain's mental,
right,
then the key is mental.
Right.
That means that even if you consider yourself a mental slave, your freedom actually depends upon you. Because it's all mental. You have to accept that you are a mental slave. They can force you to put on shackles.
Right.
But you have to accept that your mind is being controlled. And you can break all of that with an idea.
Right.
It's you know, I hear a lot of people talk about mental slavery. I talk about it myself. But if you want to be free of it, the only key that's going to work is also mental. If
right.
you run around looking for something physical to take off a mental chain, you're going to wear that mental chain till your days are over.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't even realize how great a man Martin Luther King was. Free it, man. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He wasn't talking about shackles and balls and chains around your legs and your arms and waist and all that. He was talking about mentally free.
Right.
We were already out of the chain, but we had come out of the mental chain. So, I mean, this is
you
what
know,
I'm saying. If
you know,
we can
look
beyond what mainstream America is, the mental chains they're trying to put on us, if we can keep on and look beyond that and keep on preaching our message, something will come through. Something will come through.
You know,
each
you
one
know,
week.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, but here's what I want to interject is this, Black Magic Woman, is that my experience is that your mind can be your worst enemy or it can be your best friend. And if I continually walk around and I'm in a state of total and complete and continual apprehension, you know, what it suggests to me is that I'm not able to respond spontaneously. And so I have to I'm not really all that guarded, because, you know, everything that I do is pretty much based on whatever condition that I find myself in. And but you know, and you know, there are people, you know, that you know, this will be for another subject, but Brother Sabatai, I tell you, we got like 6 minutes And I want to tell you expressly, and they tell me that there's going to be an after party in your room. You know, I pretty much don't advertise the site. But everybody that knows where your room is, I'll meet you over there here in a little bit. But I want to tell you expressly, brother, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest and host and historian and provocative speaker. And I appreciate the flavor that you brought. And I want to say, Ms. Beneath the Crust, thank you. I want to thank everybody in the room right quick. Black Ice T, thank you. Black Magic Woman, thank you. Guest 3084, thank you. Guest 3390, thank you. Guest 3449, thank you. And guest 3708, thank you. Guest 3817, thank you. Ms. Brandy, thank you so much. New Nation, thank you. And I will meet you wherever, New Nation, and give you my opinion and perspective. But and also, Miss Alicia, I don't know, she's out there somewhere, and she's have everything. And I talked with them earlier about people not being able to get on and get in the room and whatnot. So I'll have another discussion. And what they suggested was that you might have a problem, because this is an R-rated room, and you might have a problem with your spam or your settings. Your settings may be too high to get in the room. I'm not sure what exactly, you know, that technical thing, those technical things are, but I'll make a concerted effort this week and try to ensure that I can provide some information either throughout the week or by at least next week that will allow people, if you have a desire to get in a concern, or if you're stimulated by a thought. And also, let me say this right quick. Ms. Vicky, would you please give just a little bit a taste, and within a couple, 3 or 4 minutes, couple minutes, and so Brother Sabatai can wrap it up, about what you had anticipated the possibility of having next week?
Yeah, sure. Next week, hopefully, I can get one of my friends on here who's actually going through gaining benefits through the VA that he is entitled to. He is a Vietnam vet. And the benefits that he is entitled to are phenomenal. And there are things that he had no clue about, he was unaware of, things that could have changed his children's lives. But because he didn't find out about these things until late, that can't happen for his children. But it is making a huge impact on his lifestyle today. And so hopefully I can get him to come on next week and share some of those benefits and how that works, and some information where people can get some information on possibly helping a loved one that has seen any war. You know, it doesn't have to be Vietnam. It doesn't have to be World War II. Anyone that has seen war is entitled to a horrendous amount of benefits. So hopefully we can get him on next week.
I sure appreciate it. And I also left out a name, Ladies Down South. I am so grateful for that little lady, Platinum One Love. They were initially here at the beginning. Black Magic Woman, thank you always. Teach Pepsi. We got 90 seconds. Brother Sabatai, let me let you wrap it up, brother, and you can do it in 90 seconds or whatever. That's a minute and 30, and I'm back. Copy the mail. Once again, the next phase with Ice and Friends, Thursday, 7:00 to 8:30 p.m. Brother Sabatai, it's yours, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother. I just want to say any time you got need of me to come on your show and discuss whatever, Thursdays at 8, I'm pretty much available.
You be back.
I would like to say a little something for my peoples in my room, brother. It can be normal. Imagine space, y'all. Y'all know I got all the love in the world for you. And thank you for hanging out with us, Merlin area. The one thing I'd like to leave you with is, if at all possible, marry your mate and have and maintain a family. That is truly what is most important. If you're talking about unity between all of us, it begins with you and your family. Well, that is truly the best place to start, regardless of who you are. Have and maintain that family. If what we've been through ain't been enough to take us out, what we're facing isn't going to be enough to take us out either. So you can approach things without fear, because we truly cannot be stopped. If we could be stopped, we wouldn't even have been born, let alone still be here. We would have never been born. And with Brother Ice, thank you. Thank everybody for listening. And Hetep.
Hey, Hetep, brother. Miss Vicky, we'll be looking forward to seeing you next week. Right now, I think we're off the air, but this thing's archived, and so, you know, if anybody wants to replay it or whatever, it's in the queue. And Brother Sabatai, brother, thank you. I'm popping my chest with my right hand, brother. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. And you just can't imagine respect and appreciation for what you do. And Black Magic Woman. And also Lady Lily. I forgot. Lady Lily. www.beneaththecrust.net.
Don't forget Miss Brandy.
Miss Brandy. Miss Brandy, thank you so much. And Brother Merlinera, and it will be if you will it. And who else was that you said?
Nomo and the Magic Space. They're all in the Step Pyramid room on Powerpuff listening.
All righty. Hey, Brother Sy, I tell you what, I'm going to get out of this thing, but once again, I tell you, this is the next phase of Ice and Friends, Thursday, 7, 8:30 p.m., and you're always welcome to give us a call at 347-945-7040. Really appreciate you being here, and I say blessings to you and yours, and Hotep, to all of y'all guys, and we'll meet you over there on your side, Brother Sabatai. With that said, y'all have a good weekend. And have a wonderful a holiday. Be careful and safe. And you know, I'm gonna put up something about the Black man's perspective of the 4th of July. I don't know if y'all have seen that, but I'll try to find it and put it up. Anyway, y'all take good care.
You too, bro.
You too.
Bye. Night night.